말해. 삼만에 뜻들이지, 되네. 당연히 대리 가르고 싶었다. 당연히 남윤들이로 하다 되기. 내가 주야다 한다. 당연히 동아시아다 이거야 돌듯이 시선.
Good afternoon to everyone on this rather cool Sunday afternoon. So today we're going to, for our last talk this year, going to look at how to fulfill this innermost wish that we all have, this wish to experience only happiness and not to have any problems or difficulties at all. This wish for happiness, coupled with the desire to be freed from problems and difficulties, is the motivation behind everything that we do. Whether it's going to work, whether it's myself here teaching the Dharma, whether it's having holidays or time with our friends, everything we do is motivated by this desire to experience only happiness. As our underlying motivation behind everything that we say, do, and even think is this, to achieve the a state of happiness and to be freed of problems and difficulties. As this is the case, it's imperative then that we understand how to actually achieve happiness and how to actually overcome problems and difficulties, because if we lack a clear understanding of what is a method that leads to success in this regard, then no matter how much effort we make to achieve happiness, it may end up that our problems just grow and increase ever further. So despite desiring happiness, unwishful situations often come about. So therefore it's imperative we understand what the correct method or the skillful method is to actually achieve happiness. This is an important point to reflect on, that the motivation behind all activities is this wish for happiness. And this is the case for all beings. But having this wish for happiness but not being skillful in how to achieve it, then people engage in activities which cause harm. So when people talk in a harsh manner towards each other or act in a harsh manner towards each other, this they are doing because they want happiness. And if we to take an example that's to take one example, but it can apply very broadly, the behavior of terrorists, they engage in these acts of terror because they desire happiness. And they believe that other people are standing in their way of achieving happiness for themselves and their group. And therefore they engage in these acts of terror because they believe that that is the skillful path to achieve happiness. But of course happiness doesn't come from such behavior. Only suffering follows. Suffering is just compounded. So that's one illustration, but the general point is that there is this mistaken approach to the achievement of happiness, and it's expressed through harmful activity, whether physical or verbal, whether of an extreme type such as terrorism or subtler everyday types. And similarly, when there is conflict between nations, this comes about due to individuals desiring happiness, the same wish for happiness and to be freed of problems, but they identify another nation as being an obstacle to the achievement of this happiness. There is a belief that for our country or our group to have success and power and influence and wealth, we need to overcome these our opponents because they are standing in the way of our power, wealth and influence. And therefore, they engage in these acts of violence. But this doesn't lead to happiness, of course. Rather, great harm is inflicted on the peoples of the other nation, as well as those within one's own group, one's own soldiers, one's own civilians. So much harm comes from this. And even once the conflict has come to an end, the gross or the coarse external conflict has come to an end, inner turmoil remains. There's resentment towards the other group. There's no harmony between peoples. So all this comes, this harmful behavior results from this wish of desiring happiness, but not being skillful in how to achieve this.
강아 릴리 망할리기도 디기 망할리기도 심주 제바이나 강아리 망할리고래 강아리 망할리고 저 두째는 아주 심주 제바이나 디서 하고에 레라고로 와다가서
I'm quite confident that you have much more knowledge about the reasons behind geopolitical conflict in this world, and the reasons behind that acts of terrorism are performed. But if we go behind the reasoning and we dig to the subtler levels, it all comes down to the same basis: the desire for happiness, the desire to be freed of any kind of problem or difficulty at all. And it's with this desire that a nation will engage in warfare with another nation, believing that this is the path to happiness. And we hear this expressed that we need to engage in warfare to bring about peace. There is a view that this is a method to achieve happiness. And likewise with those who engage in acts of terrorism, they believe that these are the necessary endeavors to engage in to bring about happiness for those of their race or their religion or who hold their view. And therefore, they believe that this is a path to happiness. And then on a smaller scale, those who engage in criminality, whether it's fraud or whether it's stealing, they believe that this will bring happiness. This is the method to eliminate problems and difficulties. So it's always the same motivation behind whatever one engages in. And then our job here is to look at the results that come from this behavior and assess with honesty, is the desired happiness being achieved or is problems growing? And we start with these very coarse examples because they're easy to understand, and then apply them to all other situations too.
Jadi, dini ki dijujuya dah, dunga sejuk, tablam dini cewa di da, kerjanya yungguor elam dini yang aju kanis ligor esenah, macaya di kanis ligor, jikuba di misuya dah, kangsian kangsian di kanis ligor lebdu, dijujuba dah, dunga mijuba, dijujuya dunga dia, di kulong la ya, ane kerjus esenah, ni sian le ya, disu ba cewa cewa sama. 지상 예술의 채화지 콘솔을 매워서 봐 있나 콘솔을 내봐지 콘솔을 강한테 콘솔을 매워서 샤봐 있나 되는 아디기도 연구를 네가 세계를 삼고로 지상 현재 채화지 몇 삼도 이 현기 채화 현재 내봐지 몇 삼도 공로 되는 시켜지 여봐서 네 공로 되까지 숙체로 봐 있나 현 현재 내봐지야지 숙체적으로 현 마자야래 아니 지금 미소야래 강포도 시 땅야래 차상도 시리 Digi, say somebody, Jason, somebody notary, Shell, never digi, Shanky, Kanga digi, this somebody notary. Digi, somebody digi to the Lagache, the Chasa, notary leisure, digi digi to your Sablakanga Mali.
So, with this understanding, we can see that people engage in these very harmful activities, whether it's starting warfare or engaging in acts of terrorism, because they desire happiness. But of course we can see that from this desire for happiness, these techniques do not lead to the achievement of happiness. Harm comes. So here, the mistaken view is that in order to fulfill my desired happiness, these people that are stopping or preventing the arrival of happiness within me, they need to be destroyed, they need to be eliminated. Those people, that group, is the cause for me suffering. This mistaken way of thinking, this way of thinking that thinks, in order for me to achieve happiness, the group that I that other group, I need to eliminate, I need to destroy. From this way of thinking, only problems increase. Happiness cannot be found.
Then I saw Jesus, and me Jerry Morelia, some Tavine, Ganga Yadilia, as Rigniro Chagor, what then as Lulia, Nazata, Deniki, Chua, Truch, and Supul and Nazata, Denitone, and they Ganga Chiligore. I ask you, Soso get some of Tata Tone, some Tanai Tone, Mazulia Ganga Chiligore, the Ganga Noyagi, Mazu Jerry, me Jerry, some Tavine, Ganga Yadi.
So we start with the reflection by taking illustrations that are easy to understand, and then we bring it to ourselves and we start to look at ourselves. So here, if we think of the problems and difficulties that we experience, we can say generally that they come from two sources. One is relating to our physical body, such as illness and physical pain. And the second source of our problems is to do with our inner world, our way of thinking. So these are, generally speaking, these are the two sources of our problems, either to do with our health or our body, and secondly, our way of thinking. And matching these two sources from which our suffering arises, we have the same two sources for happiness. We can experience happiness based on our physical body, and also certainly with our way of thinking. So therefore, our physical body can be a source of both suffering as well as happiness, and our way of thinking can also be a source of suffering as well as a source of happiness. In terms then of our physical experiences, this we have quite some experience and skill in eliminating to a certain degree these problems. So for example, in order to prevent or limit the arrival of illness, we know we need to take care of our diet and exercise, and if we are ill, seek skilled medical advice and follow that treatment. Likewise, depending on the weather, like today, we all wear very warm clothing, or if it's hot, then we turn on the air conditioning. So we have quite some experience in the sources of physical suffering, as well as solutions to physical suffering.
So with these two divisions for sources of suffering and happiness, the way we can come to understand them is that where we're experiencing physical difficulties, that solution requires a physical solution, not a mental solution alone. So for example, if one is very hungry, merely thinking about, I'm not hungry, or thinking, oh, I have lovely food and I'm eating it, but not actually doing anything, that's kind of difficult to resolve the problem of hunger. And likewise, if one is very cold, just resolving the problem through our thought process alone and not relying on a heater or warm clothing is very difficult to solve the problem. So to overcome physical problems, some physical activity is required. And then similarly, when the source of our problems is our way of thinking, this can only be resolved well through changing our way of thinking. It's very difficult if we rely on the material world to bring about solutions to our suffering that arises from our way of thinking.
ジャンバラシマソンペジャンバディギトールジェジャンバメバソシェグロワディネシェデダサムガヤタヤメバルスウェデディネチケルシシロジソソケガンリグオマルメディディギトネドゼサシェガンセドンダルドゼヤモンボセヤダチャンツメトヤダディヨングロワディディタフシディマジサムタンタンゲサムトネガンヨナディタフシディネチゴルデディギダセトヤディカボシャゴレ
Where the source of our problems comes from our way of thinking, it's imperative, firstly, that we identify correctly identify that this is the source of our suffering, and secondly, that the way to deal with that is to change our way of thinking. It's only through developing and changing our way of thinking that we can overcome our mental suffering. So, for example, I understand that many people experience difficulty in the place of work. There's a lot of stress, a lot of pressure, and from this people suffer greatly. So when one is suffering in that way, no matter what clothing one wears or how delicious the food is that one has, that's not going to resolve one's workplace stresses and pressures. Only our way of thinking does. But many people don't recognize this with great clarity. Hence, they try and resolve their inner turmoil, their stress and problems at work, through relying on material things, such as drinking alcohol, smoking, taking drugs, all so that they can try and forget their pressures and their suffering. But relying on a material solution to overcome a difficulty that comes about due to a way of thinking, this is not able to resolve our problem, and may in fact only lead to our difficulties increasing.
Arar tume to mane razin di bu kabla samla gaya kogo mara jisa kyoshi roje chadi yorwa gaya koro mea wasa tati changi nubet zoro du yang ganga da hara leri gore jisa di digi zuk jigi bene zukjen jigi beje tani nga du singe ganga di zukjen jigi beje tani jine mea se tue mea wade
The material world, this alone cannot solve the conflict that we feel in our inner world. If it could, then taking some drugs or smoking some marijuana, which does have a relaxing impact and help one to forget one's problems, then if it was effective, one's problems would be gone. But the reality is, once the drugs wear off, the problems return, and hence the need to take them again. Same with alcohol. One drinks to relax and forget one's problems and ease the stress and the inner turmoil, but that doesn't solve the problem which comes about from the way of thinking. Hence there's the need to repeat that behavior again and again. So in brief, the material world, that alone cannot resolve problems that come about due to our way of thinking.
Nazamasu or Supul Nation, Supu Kyo was chatting it,
The reality is, if one tries these techniques relying on the material solutions such as alcohol or cigarettes or drugs to solve one's inner turmoil, in fact, beyond some short-term relaxing, benefit doesn't come. It's likely to have a harmful impact on one's health and perhaps on one's mental state as well. So this mistake of thinking that the material world can solve our inner conflict, that mistaken understanding leads to the unskillful behavior. The problem comes down to ignorance or to a lack of knowledge. And when one lacks knowledge, then it's not that surprising that one engages in or employs techniques that are not skillful, and techniques that just lead to problems growing and being compounded, rather than our desired goal of happiness being achieved.
Rokwa yakwa che, ane chi pa yakwa chenpo ka zhe che na sosu buku ina da, sosu ki chigi punja ina, sosu ngoshin wa ina, sosu ki pa chigi pe rokwa che, chigi yakwa che wa ina, ane pa shio ina mwoy ina, chigi sosu liya, ane chik su she ya da, nam ju chigi shingan su she na manyan ba che, ane tata ma che, ganga mong u te che uro wa da, dine ganga de samlo tato yote, busu toko shu, cha ta ngayi ka pa yakwa che, nga hala ya chigi, tsu yakwa chigi mina sam che, dine ki busu toko sam ta yadu, dine samlo di yane, yado, yane tato, ane samlo di pa chigi shuk che, she uro da, dine ganga sam chigi le, jine, ane chigi, di tuane samlo ganga le yadu, da dine ki ganga zemya, ganga se yadu, da la, duzwe se yade, ane yang chigi, chang to yadu yungu uro wa, chita dine ki,
And similarly, when those that we are close to, whether they are our children, our partner, our companion, or other relatives or close friends, when our relationship with any of them is going through a difficult period and they speak to us in a harsh manner or an abusive manner towards us or act to us in some unwanted way, this disturbs our mind greatly. And from this, people become experience tremendous emotional turmoil, feeling taken advantage of, taken for granted, feeling used, and really hurt inside. And when experiencing that, then it's very common for people to turn again to the material world to try and ease their pain, whether it's drink or drugs or shopping, in some way return to the to turn towards the material world to try and ease this inner pain. But as has been shown before, the material world, material objects, cannot solve adequately the suffering that we experience mentally. What we need to do is change our way of thinking, our way of dealing with these issues. And this is what we will talk about now further.
Tu sen jebaro che jehor dang ba jebaro che ne deng e kol ya deni ge pemba du je ngi chi sang bu ra chi yo de su ya deni ge chi ge chi ya bu ra chi ki mi nu sen be kar ri na sen pa jeba che du ane ko sam na le ya ane chi ge kar li go ra sen ne chi so su gi de ba ma du ba da ane ko rong ge de ma du bi to ne ma zo ka ma chi ko di dang a le ya di chi ge ka si che na nga le ya ane chi
Staying with the illustration of when we on the receiving end of a harsh a speech or behavior from a loved one, which is it tends to really upset the mind a lot. The skillful way to deal with this is to take a bit of space, a bit of time, and to look at this situation with honesty and with clarity. And if one does engage, does have a meditation practice, then one will have some understanding already of how our own mind works and our own what triggers our own emotional responses and so forth. So when someone, especially someone that we care for, speaks to us in a harsh manner, an unwarranted manner, we need to remind ourselves that we too sometimes talk to others in this way. And especially we also do talk to our loved ones in this way. And why do we do so? Because they probably are acting for similar reasons as ourselves. And as if you've reflected on what was said earlier, if you have done prior reflection on that, you would have come to see that everything that we say and everything that we do and all our thoughts are motivated by a wish for happiness and a wish to be freed of problems and difficulties. And this motivation that underlies everything that we say, do, and think is not unique to any one individual, but is shared amongst all beings. So therefore, this person, our loved one, is speaking to us or acting towards us in this unwarranted way because they desire happiness. And they feel that their happiness is being obstructed, perhaps by us, perhaps by something completely unrelated to us. And therefore, because they desire happiness, they are talking to us or acting towards us in this way. Their mind right now is in turmoil. Their desire for happiness has led to them talking to us in this harsh way. So thinking like this serves a couple of purposes. First of all, we start to see the other person as not so different from ourselves because we act in a similar way too, for the same reason. And secondly, we come to understand that it's not due to us that they are acting or speaking this way, even if we've done something wrong. They are speaking to us in this way because of their own way of thinking, their own inner world, their own inner turmoil. So therefore, there's nothing for us to take personally here, even if we have done something wrong. The way they are speaking to us is due to their own inner world, their own inner turmoil. So therefore we don't need to take it so personally. So with these two together, not taking it personally and seeing them as similar to us, our mind is more spacious and we're not getting emotionally disturbed. And this then enables us then thirdly to see that they are suffering right now. Their mind is in an unhappy place. They are upset. And this is someone we care for. And when someone we care for is going through difficulty, naturally love and compassion for them arises. And now that we are not taking this personally and we're seeing them as similar to ourselves, love and compassion will arise for them. And that means when they speak to us in this harsh manner, love and compassion arises. We are not suffering. Our mind is undisturbed. And we are able to respond skillfully.
The reality is, in this life thus far, we certainly have spoken to those that we care for, those that are our loved ones, in harsh ways and acted to them in a harsh manner. And likewise, we have also been on the receiving end of that many times, and we are likely to encounter such situations probably many more times again. So with the certainty that our loved ones are going to act towards us in an unwishful manner, we then need to think about, well, how best to respond. And in general, we can say there are one of two paths that we can follow. The one is the general path in the world, that when people speak to us act towards us in an unwarranted manner, then we get upset and we respond in a similar way. Or if the other person has a lot of power over us, we stay quiet, but inside the turmoil is the same. So that's the one way that one can respond. And we probably have done so many times. And if we look at what the outcome of that is, if the person before one is angry and upset, and we become angry and upset and respond in a similar way, the situation is only going to worsen. And whatever happens in that moment, even if one of the two parties dominates the other, later,
when you part both people, yourself and the other, your minds are disturbed, unhappy, and will stay so for quite some time, thinking back perhaps for hours or for even weeks or months, thinking back to that incident, and anger again arising about something that happened a long time before. And when you meet them again, there's no sense of harmony or closeness, but rather apprehension. So this is the usual way that one responds in the world. And this is not skillful. This does not lead to happiness for oneself, and certainly not for the other. The skillful way, the way that a true practitioner, a skilled meditator would respond, is through having come to know their own workings of their own mind. They are able to apply that knowledge and experience skillfully in these situations. Then, when someone treats them in an unwarranted manner, in a harsh manner, their mind will stay spacious and calm, understanding that this person before them desires happiness, wants to be freed of problems, but they're not skillful in how to achieve happiness. And therefore, their emotions have taken over them, their emotions are dominating them, and they are suffering now. So the skillful meditator will know that the unhappiness of this person that's being expressed towards them is nothing to be taken personally, but is really rather about the other person's way of thinking. And this enables the skilled meditator to keep their mind spacious and calm, and for love and compassion to arise for the other person, and genuine love and compassion. When love and compassion arises within one, one's mind is spacious and peaceful. And this is the understanding from a Buddhist perspective of happiness. When our mind is peaceful, this is happiness, because our mind is undisturbed by afflictions. And when our mind is experiencing happiness like this, love and compassion have arisen, and we can respond skillfully. We can perhaps express love and compassion for them, or with using skill and wisdom, we may stay silent, or apologize, or act in whichever way is most appropriate to the situation. And this skill is only possible if our mind is spacious, and for it to be spacious, love and compassion are companions or great assistants to a mind that is spacious, calm, and loving. So in order to get to this state where we can encounter an unwanted situation, a situation of potential great conflicts, we need to train our mind in meditation over a lengthy period, coming to understand our minds, our way of thinking, with ever greater clarity. And it's through this investigation, this greater self-awareness, self-knowledge arising, that we can start to transform our way of thinking and be more skilled in dealing with others. Because as we become more skilled with ourselves, it's much easier to be more skilled with others. So therefore, through meditating on these topics repeatedly over a sustained period, we develop ever stronger habituation to a skilled way of responding. And slowly we start to see change within ourselves, and we start to see that when we encounter these difficult situations, we don't respond in the same way as before. We don't take it so personally. Our ego doesn't arise so strongly. And then we start to also see that love and compassion arises for the suffering person before for us. And then later we start to see that even when this person is a stranger or someone we don't necessarily get on well with, we also feel love and compassion for them. And this shows that ever greater happiness arising within ourselves, because our mind is staying spacious, peaceful and calm, not disturbed by emotions, but rather we are able to develop love and compassion and wisdom and relate to others in a skillful manner.
Tongue
Another common source of mental anguish. The first was how others speak to us, especially those that we are emotionally close to. The second doesn't necessarily involve interaction with others, but it's where others have what we desire. And the illustration that's easy to seek with this is always the starting point, is when others have a lifestyle or wealth that we desire for ourselves. And when we see others having this, and when we want it, but we find it beyond us to achieve it, then this has quite a negative impact on our mind. On one hand, we can think jealousy would arise, but also our mind can become quite narrow, leading to a loss of strength, where we feel we lack capacity, we lack ability, we cannot achieve what we desire. And this can lead to depression, especially if we feel that we are not able to materially take care of those who we have responsibility towards. And we start to feel like we have failed. And from this we can head in a downward spiral. So this comes about due to a way of thinking, a problematic way of thinking. The problem is not material. It's our way of relating to the world, which means it's our way of thinking that is causing us this anguish. So this is something that we too need to look at, to investigate within ourselves. So all too often, when people see that others have what they desire, and they, especially when they feel that what they desire is difficult for them to achieve or is unattainable for them, then this leads to their mind becoming depressed or dispirited, feeling that they cannot achieve a meaningful life because others have what they desire and they cannot fulfill their desires. When one's in this cycle of thought, there's no material solution to that. One may turn towards suppressants such as alcohol or drugs of some sort, but this cannot solve the problem. The suffering pain inside that one feels, which comes from a way of thinking. So when we look at ourselves with honesty and we see that we desire the wealth or the material comforts or the prestige or social status that others have, we need to investigate ourselves with honesty and see what it is that we really desire, and also see if these material things that seem so appealing and attractive, if this will really fulfill our needs. Because the solution here is to develop a mind of contentment, a mind that is truly content with what one has. So for example, if you see pictures of your friends and they're wearing really fashionable clothes that look really great, or they're eating delicious food, going to very nice restaurants or on a holiday to beautiful places, and they're posting these very appealing photographs, and we feel this desire and this lack of contentment arising within ourselves, and perhaps even jealousy arising within ourselves, we need to look at this and look at where this is coming from and think to ourselves with honesty, would I really be happier if I had this? Would that fulfill my needs, or would I be wanting something better afterwards? Would I be needing to always be doing better than what I'd recently done? Because the reality is, probably all of us have sufficient clothing and suitable clothing to stay warm in the winter and dress when it's hot, to still dress appropriately for our social needs. And beyond that, we don't really need much more. And likewise with food, I presume everyone is able to eat a nutritious diet and thereby fulfill one's health requirements. But beyond that, we don't really need anything greater than that. So when we look at it with some honesty, the only thing we really are missing out on is social status and prestige. And if we see that, we need to really see how much do we value that, how important that is. And usually when you look at that with some honesty, perhaps a bit of embarrassment arises within oneself as we start to see these things in a truer light, in a more realistic perspective. And here we start then to develop contentment with what we have, no longer desiring to keep up with others or to do better than others, but seeing with sincerity that what we have is sufficient. Others, we recognize, have to strive always to do better and better so as to keep up those appearances. But I'm free of that. I'm free of that. And if they look at me and look down on me, or I believe they look down on me, that doesn't matter. What I have is more than sufficient. And when we give rise to a genuine sense of contentment with what we have, that leads to a strength of mind, because we are able to focus our mind on what's important, not getting lost in things that are meaningless. And in this way, not only do we protect our mind from going in a downward spiral, but we've added strength to our mind, and a strength that we can use to apply to what has meaning.
Chik tenege tene dulo yane yang do chebe jawo ro de sawa sawa kongu re tene chige chide dulo mangbu ko re so ma ayo re tene chig so su gi dan da ma ju be ka nga mi gi da ngi tene shwe ne mi gi nga la chi ya hu du se de pe chi ka ya ra yong gu yin na me na sem be gi o nga de ne ju gon ba ni mi ko chi gi ma re sem be nam do da ma re sem je shu ro re se sa kon zo sam ta be na Kwanzuli tenegi mingdi gyuda, tenegi mingdi yormato, jibli jene ngana jiwado, skarsene ngaliya migi tenegi chige tongshun tangre sampada tenegi kanga minu, ane chik ngana chugi chik mambo yi jambara yanyan yanyo nyogo di penchur mambo chosong tangwa tenegi kanga minu. Sito du samtayana kwanzuli ya mingche yorote, jibli semi jibli samtayana nga semi jiwado, sito ngana yagado. Some
生了刚刚有的生病的都生当些控制结婚的安安生不了的你给刚刚用啊然后占用啊我等下控制的安安就要多生病都生当的所说那就不人民都当然然后压都是控制的安安就要的生病就要多生都不会见的所说不会见的那你给生了的告诉你妈下路基础真的是生了刚刚立马刚刚充满的
When we notice in ourselves a sense of jealousy arising for what others have, a sense of longing to have that for ourselves, we need to look at the situation with honesty. And in order to achieve these material things that the world values or are valued so in the world, or to achieve the social status and prestige amongst one's circle that is valued so in our world, this requires a lot of effort. And it requires not only a lot of effort, perhaps at work, to earn enough money and to always try and have something better than others, but it also involves a lot of mental worry, in fact a lot of anguish, because to always try and stay out in front or to try and catch up with those who you perceive as being ahead of oneself, one's mind is completely disturbed by this. There's no mental peace because one is always desiring more, looking at others with longing, looking down on others one perceives as behind oneself. There's no possibility of such a person who's always striving to get ahead and be better than others to be happy. There's no possibility for them to experience peace whilst they're dominated by such thoughts. And in fact, people in the world who have great power and influence, they are often looked up to. But they struggle to maintain that. And moreover, there are many people who want to take advantage of them, so they struggle to have close and meaningful friendships with others. There are some others who also want to harm them. And therefore people with real power in this world tend to have high security in their homes, travel with a security detail. And we have no experience of that. We can't even conceptualize what it must be like to worry so about oneself and one's family when they are real threats to oneself. And that is part of the price that comes with striving for power and influence. So when you think of it like that, what seemed previously to be so desirable is not so desirable. And then we can start to look with more clarity at what we have. The benefits that come from greater social status or being better dressed than others, this is not so important. This really is of very little meaning. In fact, what I have is more than sufficient. Materially, it's more than sufficient. And in fact, I know that those that I'm close to, They are close to because we have a good relationship, not because they're taking advantage, they're wanting to take something from me, take advantage of me. And I think if we look at ourselves with honesty, we can see that we are actually happier than these people that so many people look at to and aspire to be like. And then we feel like we are the true lottery winners in life, because we are the happier ones. We're not dominated by craving and desire, but our minds are more peaceful and calmer. And that is the state that we do truly desire. And this then is another illustration of where the suffering that we experience comes about in dependence on our way of thinking. So the source of our suffering there is not the wealth and the prestige and the lovely holidays that others are having, whether they have them or not. That alone doesn't impact our happiness. It's our way of relating to it, our mental way of relating to it, our way of thinking. So as it's our way of thinking that leads to our suffering, that too is where the solution lies. Change our way of thinking. So when we see a longing or a desire arising within us, especially if it's then coupled with jealousy, when we observe something that others have that we long for, whether it's something like a beautiful home or garden, or that they're surrounded by friends and famous people, or whether it's they've achieved in life things that we long for, we need to be aware of what's arising in our mind and then investigate. Come to know ourselves better and investigate the situation and see that it takes a lot of hard work, a lot of effort to achieve these things that are so valued in society. But if you think about it with clarity and with wisdom, actually many of the things that society value has no real value, because they are impermanent phenomena. They change, they don't last. And because the phenomena doesn't last, as well as the happiness, that the worldly happiness that the attainment of either situations or possessions leads to, this worldly happiness, that is impermanent. It doesn't last. Hence, no matter what worldly success people have, they desire ever more. And without the mind of contentment, they are never satiated. They are always suffering. They are always unhappy. They are never as they never achieve enough. And when we think like that, our mind doesn't get filled with desire and longing for what we observe that others have. Rather, our mind stays calm and peaceful. But if we don't become skillful like this, the reality is, when we see what others have and we long for this, we start to look at ourselves in a bad way. We start to see ourselves as having failed. We start to see ourselves as being insufficient. And this brings us down and leads us to becoming depressed or unhappy. And then even when we are with our friends, we perhaps complain a lot, complaining about what's all that's wrong in our lives and what's wrong in other people's lives. We may even get angry and take out our anger on our loved ones. And this just leads to our previously harmonious relationships being destroyed. It can also take us in a direction of trying to escape our problems through blotting them out, through drinking and the like. And this too is no solution to these problems. So rather we need to be aware of what's arising in our mind. And then take quiet time for ourselves and look at ourselves and look with honesty and with clarity, reminding ourselves that everything that seems so desirable in this world is impermanent, whether it's a material object or it's a situation such as prestige or reputation or being surrounded by friends. These are impermanent. They have no intrinsic value to them at all. To focus on that as being an end in itself worthy of achieving, it's really missed the possibility to live a life of great meaning and achieve something remarkable within oneself. So in order then to achieve a calm and spacious mind, one needs contentment. And to develop contentment, the most skillful meditation is one on impermanence, seeing that worldly phenomena, again whether it's material phenomena or situations such as reputation, these are impermanent. And therefore they change, and they are not worthy goals worthy of striving for in and of themselves. So this is the way to achieve the spacious mind of contentment.
Mendi sa wudwa. And that Shengi me, Benjo Yaboda, Tunga Yaboda, then sometimes Sosola, Malamindu, and because some Kanga Leo do, Delia, Tishon Choshe, or that Tishon Choshe, some Jevaja, Tosho Choshe, Rahalia, Bobakia, some die. Men, Nazid Leo, the men Savanaj, the Nick Kanga Leo, some little tire. That the Niggi me Mongbo Sosu, Zom, Chetan, and also may have made the city, the Niggi some Kanga Leo, Ducabla, some Machiba Leo, Ducabla, Lamsa. Delia, Timbuyo, Maragu, or Joshua, Simidava, some dam, Sosolian, Povakia, the Nick Povo, Povoco, some Tavina, the Niggi, some Diadigi, Mazugi, this was some Lotache, some Lukamadigi, some Lutustavina, and Kamadi said to your chick dam, and the Kamadi, and there Rangi, Lucim, the Manuvache, Semu Tiguayata, Kamasia, the Tiguayati, Dian, Diane, and the Dushin, Timitim to the Chagorwa.
In brief then, when we experience problems, the very first thought should be, what is the source of this problem? Is it physical or is it mental? And once we've identified the source, the second step then is to apply the appropriate antidote. So if we're experiencing a problem and identify it as a physical source, then apply the appropriate physical solution. If we're cold, we put on warm clothing. That's physical. If we are ill, that's physical. We apply a physical solution through seeking skilled medical treatment and following the medical advice that we receive. And if the source of our problem is mental, then we need to rely on a mental solution. In other words, if we are suffering mentally, it's because of our way of thinking. So that's what we need to deal with. So we've looked at some differing sources of mental suffering, such as when we experience abuse from others, whether physical or verbal, whether they physically or verbally treat us in an unwanted manner. We need to be aware that our suffering then is coming about due to our way of thinking, and we need to now apply our meditative training in this situation and come to see that this person before us is suffering, and therefore they are merely expressing their own inner turmoil towards us. So therefore it's not about ourselves at all. And rather then be aware that because this person is suffering, they are acting in this way, love will arise within us for the suffering person, compassion will arise within us, wanting them to be freed of this inner turmoil. And then we can respond to them with skill, and our own inner peace is not lost. We will leave that encounter and not be disturbed by what was said or what was done. We won't hold resentment towards that encounter. Likewise, if we see the situation that others have, and desire arises or longing for that arises within us, investigate this, look at this, and rather transform that way of thinking, give rise to a mind of contentment, being truly pleased and satisfied with what we have, not desiring more. And when we are in gatherings where we perhaps don't really want to be, or we're with people we'd rather not be with, then the way to deal with that skillfully is not merely to endure, because that implies a mind that is suffering, but one is just staying silent. But rather to transform that situation, seeing that any difficulty that is arising because we are in the company of people we'd rather not be in the company of, this is coming from our way of thinking. And therefore, if we are skillful, we can change that way of thinking. And the easiest way there is to remind ourselves that this encounter is impermanent and it will not last. It will end in some minutes or maybe a couple of hours. It will end. And therefore, there's no need to get particularly upset. The time will pass whether we get upset or not. So let's rather not get upset and let it pass peacefully and harmoniously. So therefore, in brief, when you experience the arisal of some suffering feelings, look at that and see what the source is, physical or mental, and then apply the appropriate antidote.
This is widely accepted in the world that when one's ill, one should receive good medical advice and follow that advice. And also,
as a companion to this in the world, it's widely accepted that in order to remain healthy, one should eat a healthy diet as well as exercise, so as to prevent or limit the arisal of disease and illness. So this is known and accepted with regard to the material world. But that same technique should be followed with regard to our inner world. So we've heard about if one experiences problems, how to deal with that. But moreover, to prevent the arisal of inner turmoil, to prevent the arisal of afflicted mind such as desire or anger, one needs to train one's mind in meditation. And the more successful one's training, in other words, the more one is habituated to these meditative techniques, then the less likely one is to bring any harm to others and experience harm oneself. And the easiest meditation to engage in here, the easiest meditation to prevent mental unhappiness, is to reflect on, I do not want to add to the pain of others. I do not want to increase the suffering burden that others are already having to carry. I commit to not making anyone's life more difficult than it already is. And we take that as a starting point, thinking about others, and think about how our behavior impacts on them. Thinking that, I know how I feel when I meet someone whose face is black with anger. Immediately I become afraid. Even if they're not upset with me, fear arises within me. And no one wants to do that to others. No one wants to have that impact on others. So thinking like this, we say, we commit to being aware of our mind, aware of how we're showing our mind, expressing our mind. Because if I am unhappy inside, I will show that unhappiness to others. Likewise, if I'm unhappy inside, I'm likely to speak in a harsh and unwarranted manner to others. Or if I experience a small problem, I'm likely to explode and take that out on others. I don't want to be that person. I don't want to add to the burden of suffering of others. So through reflecting like this, subtler and subtler levels, again and again, repeatedly over a sustained period, we're developing this mind of restraint, which is comes about with a commitment to bring no harm. A commitment not to add to the pain and suffering and misery that others already have to experience. And the stronger we have developed this within ourselves, then when we experience dangerous situations where the afflictions may well arise within us, it'll be much easier for us to deal with this skillfully, because this habituated mind will naturally arise within us. And thereby, we will be able to ease our own inner turmoil and respond to the situation skillfully, whether that situation is coming from another person or whether it's things not going the way we want them to. We'll be able to deal with that skillfully, keeping our own mind spacious and calm, and thereby certainly not add to the pain and difficulty that others experience, but rather to ease their burden.
The first meditation then that I've just mentioned to encourage you to engage in is a commitment not to bring harm. Then a companion that goes with us is the wish to be of benefit to others. So this is where we engage in the reflection that others and myself, we are all the same in that we desire lasting, stable happiness. And to achieve that, we want to be freed of problems and difficulties. This is something we all have. This wish is something that we all have. And as others are the same as me in wanting this, and as others are the same as me in struggling to achieve this, not only will I, on the one hand, not add to the burden of their difficulties, I will also help them wherever I can, wherever I have the ability and the capacity to be of benefit to others, to not only not add to the burden of suffering of others, but to ease that burden of suffering. I will do so. No matter who that person is, whether it's someone that I'm emotionally close to, a stranger, whomever, where I have capacity to help, I will do so. Whether that's through helping others materially or helping others with emotionally, where they're having emotional turmoil, if I can ease that burden, I will do so. Where we all have our own set of skills and talents, and I will use these to benefit others. I'll use these to add to the happiness that others are experiencing and ease their suffering. And if we include this in the meditation, so if we have these both these steps, the first commits to bringing no harm to others, and the second is, where in accordance with my capacity, I will bring happiness into the lives of others, then we will experience no jealousy for others. Rather, whenever we see others have success, even if it's success we would like for ourselves, we will rejoice. We will, with sincerity, be happy at what they have achieved. So this shows that if one has developed such a way of thinking, one's mind is light and spacious and joyous, taking delight in the welfare of others, taking delight in being of benefit to others, easing their burden. So this then is a second key meditation.
So, 所以说空中都比空中那些我个个不及名字怕空中那几边呢出个不起来的你水土嘛路啊那多刚刚在忙啊吃个嘛多扎卡的扎起来吃个嘛多念茶土过嘛所以说给讲解所以说也麻烦我这边呢所以说怕讲解所以说给偏多住下来呢你说说是呀念水土过了其实今天也这样讲解什么当然嘛什么都不要嘛是女的钱不 在的啊，在的了，所以呢，对对，吃了，什么鸡巴吃，米线了也呢，盘多几头呀。那所以说，这些位呢，米线，这个哦，这米，咱们这个米，怎么里的了？明白没？米点的吃了是米白啊，我有时候的米线位呢，俺那过当地的米，太阳的什么干啦啦吃，吃过了。就像今天早上这个，今天给咱们我过，今天先给这些的，东西白啊，或者也是一样的，咱们这个过米啊的。第二，另外有什么可能吃了，分别刚好都经营这边，两年也都上当班的，今天给咱们的开始，你不晓得，晓得有没呢？所以说，什么计划下来，计划水土呀的。所以说，你别交白呢，让给下来盘多几头呀，吃过了。就像今天早上这个，先别刚刚晒的。
And so I started out mentioning in our talk today that to overcome our mental problems and difficulties through relying just on the material world, this cannot solve the problems of our inner world. Rather, if one engages in these two meditations, especially if one does so in a habituated way, in other words, on a daily basis, one engages in these meditations, an incredible transformation will come about. So these two meditations, the first one, which is the commitment not to bring harm to others, this leads to the rise of compassion to others, because compassion is the wish for others to be freed of suffering. So we make in the commitment, I will not harm others. I don't want to experience suffering, and others don't want to either. I commit to not harming others. And one knows then, as a byproduct of acting in this way, one will start to receive less harm from others. So therefore, one is acting skillfully and compassionately towards oneself too, as well as to others. And then the companion meditation of others desire happiness just like I do. I want them to be happiness because I also desire this and we are no different. And wherever I can help others achieve happiness using my material resources, my skills and my talents, in accordance with my abilities, I will help others. We start to feel then a sense of closeness to others, starting to see ourselves really as on a profound level as no different from anyone else, in that we desire happiness, we desire to be freed from suffering. And at that profound level, there's no difference. And we start, and as we develop the stronger within us, this mind of equanimity towards others becomes ever easier to commit our way of thinking to ensure that it doesn't go in a harmful direction, but rather in a loving and compassionate direction. This starts to have a profound impact on the way we relate to others, the way we see others, because we start to feel a sense of closeness to whomever we meet. Whether it's someone who has shown us kindness and we have a harmonious relationship with them anyway, whether it's strangers or whether it's people who actually don't really like us very much, we start to feel a sense of closeness to others because we don't see ourselves as so different. And we express that feeling of closeness to them, on one hand, by not adding to their pain and their difficulty, but actually to taking away from their burden of suffering by helping them in whichever way we can. And this then leads to others starting slowly to see us in a different way too. They start to see our inner transformation, they start to experience that. And they therefore relate to us differently. And the people before with whom we had fractious relationships, that starts to change. They no longer see us as a threat or perceive us as an enemy, but rather they start to see us as a friend. And the inner transformation leads to the experience that wherever we go, whomever we encounter, whatever the situation is, we feel a sense of closeness towards others.
we feel a sense of affinity with others, and we express this towards others. And this means no matter where we are, we're not surrounded by people that we feel that we don't feel close to. And rather we feel a sense through this feeling of closeness towards others. Our mind is gentle and spacious. Our way of acting and interacting is gentle and kind. And this has a powerful impact on everyone that we encounter. And we start to become an inspiration in our community. We start to bring peace and harmony between members of our community. And when this life comes to an end, we will be remembered well and remembered for something quite extraordinary in our society. Not about wealth and fame and prestige, but that we've added to kindness in our community. We've eased the burden of suffering in our community. And this entire transformation comes about through us developing our own minds, becoming happier and more peaceful within ourselves. And as that happens, as that transformation comes about, inner turmoil becomes weaker and weaker and less frequent. And we become much more stable, and our happiness and inner peace, this too, becomes much more stable. Our time together this year has now come to an end, and yes, this is impermanent too. So my parting thoughts that I've shared with you is this meditation that we've engaged in now, and whilst you've been sitting here looking at me, listening to what I'm saying, this is a meditation, because what you've heard about, what you've heard, you've thought about. And that is the process of meditation. So it's my hope that if what I've said has made some sense to you, then great. But my hope is that you don't just leave it at this one talk, but you take what you've heard today and think about it. And the more you think about it, if you do so, have a meditation practice, a daily meditation practice, where you think about these things that I've said, they start to have a greater impact on your mind, in that meditation is the process of habituation or familiarization. And these things that you think about, they start to become ingrained within oneself. And this is the process of transformation, of inner transformation. So if you found some truth in what you've heard today, it's my sincere hope that in these couple of months that we have apart, when you have some quiet time, that you use it to think about this and develop ever greater peace within oneself and skill in bringing happiness and harmony into our world. So this is something of great importance, and it's a skillful tool to bring this about. So thank you, and until we have the opportunity to meet next year, I hope that you have a wonderful time with your friends and your family and your relatives. Thank you.
Thank you.